If you weren't in love with me, I'm just not sure why, like, why you made love with me.
Really? Come on. There could be 25 women, you could fall in love with one, and she might not feel the same.
I love you.
As far as being in love, I've certainly moved on.
I am in love with you, Jalen.
Well, there's no good way, but this is the best way. People have now meet this way, right?
I'm so tired.
It's late.
It's so late at night.
Why was that 2 hours of women tell all?
No. Why was the whole thing 3 hours? And mind you, they know that the finale every season is 3 hours long. So why would you do two 3 hour episodes in a row?
I mean, it's going to be surprising, but the Bachelor producers aren't really thinking about how fresh you and I are at work on Tuesday
morning. So tired.
How fresh we are at work on Monday night.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean...
Right now.
Yeah, I know. Guys, I'm never going to get this 3 hours back. Ever.
I should be editing this in the bedroom.
Right now.
But instead we're starting
We're starting the episode, so we'll probably get to sleep around 1:30? Does that seem reasonable?
You gotta give the people what they want.
You really do, and it's...
The people want this radio
show. And this season, it is that. And you know what? This makes me really nervous that... You know, because people are so excited about Rachel's season, me included, for sure. We might have more than 2 3-hour episodes. So I'm pretty upset about that. Bold prediction.
Well, now's the time to get upset about it before it even gets happened.
Bold prediction, guys.
Before it even happens.
But at least it'll be the summer and the days will be a little bit longer. So, you know, that's something to look forward to, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, it'll be warmer in most parts of the country, not counting San Francisco.
Not counting San Francisco at all. It'll still be 50 degrees, and that's
still
about
be,
it.
Still be cloudy.
Still be cloudy
foggy
and foggy
sweaters.
And
sweaters.
Yep, I will have no use for my swimsuits.
Let's get into these things.
Oh God.
Let's start with the end of the road,
which
is actually kind of a beginning of the road.
It really is. Now, I mean, we all know that we were going to lose Rachel at some point. And we all knew that based on creating the suspense of the show, we physically could not lose Rachel next week because it would spoil who wins the show.
Yes, she could not get second.
She legally could not have won second because that would not have worked out. So
it would have been illegal.
It would have been illegal. It would have been...
Everyone would have gone to prison.
There would have been a court order. It would have been very dark days. So we obviously had to lose Rachel this week.
The Prison Bachelorette would be an interesting show.
Well, The Prison Bachelorette is basically Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
Same show.
Yeah. Okay.
So we lost Rachel.
We
didn't lose her at all because
we temporarily, for one episode of TV,
yeah.
We will not see her.
Yeah.
Then she will be back for every episode.
Every episode until then. And we know now that her season starts on May 22nd. So it's lit, guys. I'm psyched.
Yeah, I mean, I'm psyched too. It's going to be season 9 for us.
Yeah.
We're going to get over episode 100 next
year. I know! Isn't that big? This is huge, guys.
It is big. You know what?
It's really exciting.
This is fun. You know, if you're listening right now, go tell somebody else.
Yeah.
Tell somebody else that they should listen.
Tell a friend.
We got 100 episodes.
Tell a friend that, you know, at least, you know, if everybody that listens tells a friend, we will then have 200 people listening to this show.
Yeah, and if everybody listening, like, kind of annoyingly nagged a friend, we might get even further.
We could get 210. I think we could get a solid 210.
You're going to give the people what they want. People want this.
Anyway, I think this is probably the most anticlimactic elimination that they've ever had. We knew it
yes.
was coming, like, and we also knew that this person would get some good out at the end of it. It's not like when we lost Luke last season and people were shook and devastated and then he was never to be heard from again.
Yeah. So we go to Finland.
Yeah.
And we might as well start this. Rachel's one-on-one date is the first thing that happens in the episode. Right?
I think the only other thing that I would say, and this, you know, softly has to do with the end of Raven's one-on-one date. I can't wait for this show to grow up.
It's not going to.
I think with someone like Rachel, and it always seems that, you know, usually The Bachelorette is when this happens, that they usually, you know, the show's a little bit more sophisticated. And I think with Rachel being on the show, it'll elevate the room a little bit. So hopefully next season, we won't have to have these juvenile sort of montages about, you know, Raven finally had an orgasm, so now she's kissing taxidermied reindeer and, you know, hugging people on the street. Orgasms don't make you do that. They make you go to sleep.
They do on TV.
Well, they do on Jane the Virgin.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that show, but I can only assume it's a masterpiece. Well,
based on what we know about network TV.
It's on the CW, guys.
Yeah, whatever.
So we get to Rachel's fantasy suite date.
So we get there. Yeah, it's really hard. It's like, you know they're going to get together. You know they're going to hook up a little bit. And then you're like, this can't possibly end.
Right. Like, I mean, I think I loved seeing Rachel have this kind of interaction with Nick just because the two of them have such good chemistry with one another. They had a cute date. And I think the only other thing that was kind of, I think the linchpin for her was when it seemed as though everybody else was saying, I love you to Nick. And she had only gotten so far as to say, I'm falling in love with you, which obviously we know on the show is two very different things.
I don't think that's real.
Ooh, why? What do you think, Adam? Bold prediction?
No. I mean, number one, nobody actually means it when they say, I love you. Nobody means it when they're saying, I'm falling in love
with you. Oh, not in the show. Of course
not. It's all a ploy to generate these fake progression
milestones.
Stages. Yeah.
Milestones.
So that they can continue showing him that they're moving along.
Right.
It's not real. It's like an accepted language.
I'm so surprised that you are finally saying that something isn't real about this show, because I had to check you a couple weeks ago.
I had to check you a couple weeks ago
when you were like, oh my god, I'm falling for this show. I'm like, yeah, you're an idiot.
Like, yeah, first of all, yes.
Yeah, you're a dummy.
Second of all, there is an accepted lexicon of vocabulary here that people, you know, like Nick can't say, I'm going to propose to you, but he can say, I'll get down on one knee. And he can't say, I love you, but he says,
get down on the knee.
Yeah, everyone says, get down on one knee. Nobody says propose.
No.
It's dumb.
It is dumb.
It's just like, that's how you talk to people.
Speaking of things that are dumb, Adam, what was Nick's 800 speed when he was in high school?
Nick was a very fast runner in high school.
Was he?
He was. He ran a 155. Uh-huh. 800. That's a half a mile.
Yeah? And what did you run?
Nowhere close to that. Okay. Probably, my best time in the 800 was at least probably 10 seconds slower than that.
Well, I mean,
I was a very subpar 800 runner. I was not a good 800 runner.
I like how you like to qualify that. Like, I just wasn't a good runner. No, Nick Vile is 6'2 and has legs as tall as this building.
Nick won state in Wisconsin.
Girl, I know. I mean, you don't even tell me that. If there's one thing Nick is good at, it's and running.
That's two things.
If there are two things that Nick is good at, it's
I would argue that the real thing he's good at is mumbling.
Ooh, yeah.
Or just being misunderstood in a general sense.
So we get to the evening portion of Rachel's day.
Oh, no, we haven't even gone to the regular. So here's what they do. They go cross-country skiing because they're in Finland.
Oh, God, this.
Right? This is weird, right? Nick and Rachel are like, we're athletic people. Like, guess what? Doesn't matter.
I think this is one of the things that, you know, on our list of you can never be good at anything.
Oh, yeah.
Dates, like,
This is up there with ice skating,
which, bold prediction, we're going to see next week. Fun.
Other bold prediction, no one's going to be good at it.
No one's going to be good at it.
It's impossible to be good at ice skating.
And cross-country skiing, I have never been cross-country skiing because obviously I don't have shoes for that. But
I've been here. Like, right. imagine like flexing every muscle in your leg and just keeping it that way for like hours on end.
Oh no.
Yeah, and you're also wearing a bunch of layers of clothes and moving your arms like a wild person.
That sounds crazy.
Yeah, it's cool. And like, if you get a little bit off balance to one side, you fall over.
Oh,
and
cool.
And then you get up, your legs don't unflex the whole time. So you stand up and you do it again.
So I can only imagine how sore Rachel and Nick were after that date.
Yeah, it's like downhill skiing, except you have to push yourself
forward.
Except
the exact opposite. Except not at all.
It's terrible.
So we get to the evening part of the date. Like, are you ready to talk about the evening part of the date now?
It's like running on a treadmill, only the treadmill isn't turned on.
Right, you just have to pull the band with your own body weight.
You're pushing the band.
You're pushing the band with your own body weight.
So we do whatever. So we do this, and then also we go visit reindeer, which is cute.
Cute.
Because this entire species of animal was co-opted by Big Christmas.
Yeah.
Big holiday.
Yeah, even. Thank you. Thank you. Better. Thank you for your non-denominational version.
Whatever. That's what they did. Then we go on to the evening.
Then we go on to the evening date. So, obviously, Rachel's big hurdle was to say, I'm falling in love with you. Fine. Whatever.
She has a speech.
She has a speech. I really don't care about it because I know that she's the Bachelorette. I know that she's going to get kicked off this week. This is not a big deal for me.
It's tough to listen to.
Here's what is the big deal for me. So we get to the evening part. Obviously, Rachel says, yes, I'm going to spend the night with you, Nick Vile. So
I'm going to insert something right
okay,
now.
Okay, you go,
this is going to be, like, this is true 25 to Life exclusive content.
Right.
You're not going to hear this other places.
You sure aren't.
This is the reason you should listen to this week's episode.
There probably might be only one other place that you hear about it, but I think this person who usually does reviews, I think this person who usually does recaps for The Bachelor on Vulture.
No, don't promote the competition.
I'm not promoting the competition. I'm just saying.
You just named
there the might be only one other place that you might hear this commentary. I just want to know if in the evening that Rachel spent with Nick, if she wrapped her hair. Now, the politics of African American hair are very complicated, but not really complicated.
Not complicated at all.
It's not complicated. I mean, Adam, you've been living with me for however long you've been living with me, and so that's not really a problem for you.
We've been together for 7 years.
Not that it was a problem to begin with, but many
times.
Not
that you know.
Well,
no, it really wasn't.
It wasn't. Many times when black women sleep in order for them to look amazing the next day, they wrap their hair. Now, some, you know, a lot of women also sleep on satin pillowcases and that kind of thing. But this is a different level of experience.
What do you mean wrap their hair?
When I say wrap my hair, I mean I brush it down and I comb it into a circle. And, is that an accurate representation of what it looks like, right? I brush it around my hair so that it wraps around my head, and then I tie it up with a silk satin scarf.
Yeah, so here's the thing, right?
Yeah.
I have dated white women before, and, like, for the most part, not even for the most part, 100% of the
100%
cases
of the time.
With them, and maybe it was just the girls that I was with, when they fall asleep, they just fall asleep, and their hair, like, the way that their hair is just, it stays, it just, like, that's the way it is when they're awake, and then they fall asleep, and, like, that's the way it is when they fall asleep.
Right, but
it is not the case with Taylor.
Well,
She is awake, and then in between being awake and falling asleep, she needs to orchestrate her hair.
I do.
Into the circle.
I do.
And then she needs to wrap it with the scarf.
I do.
And then she can fall asleep.
Well, yes. Because,
and then when she wakes up, it is perfectly mummified and preserved.
Yes.
In exactly the state that it was right before she fell asleep.
Yes, that is the way to describe it.
It moved 0 inches, millimeters, while she was asleep.
That is the way to describe it, yes. So I say all that to say,
when you see black women on TV fall asleep on, like,
scripted shows that are usually written by white people
or anybody.
Well, that's not true, because Shonda Rhimes doesn't play that.
Okay. when you see black women on TV and they fall asleep, they don't wrap their hair.
They don't.
They fall asleep like I fall asleep, just as it is.
Right, which is absolutely ridiculous. That is not happening at
Taylor
all.
Taylor always has a moment when that happens.
I get very upset about The Flash because they do this with Candace Patton. It is disrespectful. She is too beautiful, and her weave is way too good for her to be messing it up by not wrapping it at night. Anyway, I say
so
all that to say.
Did Rachel wrap her hair?
Did Rachel wrap her hair
so,
last night?
So, The Bachelor, we see her, the last time we see her fall, or awake, her hair is unwrapped.
Unwrapped.
This
when
is
they're,
okay.
They're canoodling, it's
yeah,
cute, like we're
okay.
Having sex,
we're assuming,
it's fine,
we're assuming they're about to get physical,
right,
and like
right,
the hair
right.
Wrapping wouldn't happen then.
Wouldn't anyway. Happen then anyway, yes.
When we see her first thing in the morning, she is allegedly still asleep.
Sure.
And her hair is just out.
Right. So,
unwrapped.
So the question is, which could reasonably have happened, was there a time frame when the cameras are like, we're going to be back at 9? Did she wake up at 8:50 and unwrap her hair and then, you know, fix it a little bit and then get back in the bed? Because that could have happened.
But
that is precisely what happened.
That's what I think happened.
They see, this is Taylor picked up me saying this during the show, and now she's adopted exactly.
I was really confused because I was trying to figure it out myself, and you know, this is obviously not the first time we're going to have these kinds of conversations because Rachel being the Bachelorette is going to bring up a lot of dialogue. But I think she did.
I think she put on makeup too.
Oh. 100%. I mean,
I think they came in and they were like, "Wake up!" And she woke up and she ran into the bathroom.
Well, I mean,
and
I think
combed her.
It's exactly what I said. It was. We're gonna stage the wake up. We're gonna be back at 9 o'clock to stage the wake up. So figure out what you need to do to get your life together.
I don't even think that. I think they just came in. They're like, "Hey, wake up! You got to get yourself ready to wake up on camera."
Honey, this is still a television show. They're on a schedule. They tell the people what the schedule is. This ain't a game. It's a game show, but it ain't a game. So we get to the end of their day.
What's she going to do? Turn over and set an alarm on her phone?
Ooh, right. Well, maybe there's a clock in the bedroom. That was so smart of you to say, because you know they can't have phones on the show.
I know. Sometimes I'm smart.
Oh, God. That master's degree is working tonight.
The people it from Mensa are listening. Like, he's one of our finest.
He's one of us. So we get to the end of the date. Nick makes her eggs. It's all very cute. And now we head to Vanessa's fantasy suite moment. How did you feel about this? I felt like this has sort of been a slow downward spiral for Vanessa. I still think he's going to pick her, but man, oh man, is she all over the place.
I think she has a strategy. Everyone has a strategy.
Everyone.
Nobody
Raven's,
wants to
Raven
win.
Raven has a strategy. I don't know if Rachel has a strategy.
I think Raven actually wants to win.
I think she does too. She's competitive.
It is. Well, I think she cares about Nick more than she cares about the fame. I do not think that is the case with most people on the show. I think of the 30 women that we start with, there are probably like 3 or 4 who would actually end with Nick and be like, "This is the best thing that could have happened."
Right.
You know, most of them are just like, no, the best thing that could happen
is me being on television.
Is I get famous enough to get my own show after this.
No, not my own show. To be an Instagram model so I can sell, you know, gummy vitamins and fit tea.
The Dorfman path.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what it's called.
Yeah.
So here's what happens with Vanessa, right? We do this weird hot tub, cold tub, ice bath, sauna. Like,
cute date. Vanessa started to get really amped up, and she was really into it towards the end.
Yeah, so kind of weird. Like, you know, I'm a person who has been known, speaking of me running again, right?
Yeah, that's you.
I'm a person who's been known to do an ice bath.
You love an ice bath.
It is uncomfortable.
Oh, for, in what respect, Adam?
Like, the temperature that your body is right now,
uh-huh.
Like, if you're listening to this, the temperature your body is right now, wherever you are, that's the temperature it's supposed to be. You're not, like, there's a reason your body is that temperature.
Right.
You're not supposed to artificially lower it.
You are not.
To the point where your legs turn purple and you can't move them.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So that's what they do.
Okay.
And interestingly enough, they put them in the worst possible outfits for this.
I mean, can I just say, Vanessa's legs are a mile long. She looked great in that one piece.
She looks great.
Yeah,
Nick, however, is wearing these like super, super tight, like
boy shorts.
Brief kind of shorts.
He loves short shorts.
Like, I've been in an ice bath before.
Well,
I've been in cold, wet situations.
Are you having a George Costanza?
I was in the pool!
Yeah.
Okay.
It was cold.
It was cold.
I don't know why they put Nick in that. I mean, he's like, he looks better than like everybody because he's got no
he's
body.
He's an Adonis, sure.
Yeah, but just regardless of how muscular you are.
At some point, I mean, The Bachelor does get to make decisions about the dates.
He should have decided to wear different pants, bottoms,
all right,
trunks.
Maybe those were sanctioned bottoms or trunks that were attached to the experience.
Maybe. You really think the people of Finland are like, "You must wear skin tight blue trunks"?
No? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe they do.
Okay.
So they do this, whatever.
Yes.
Then they get to talking.
Right.
And this is kind of where the Vanessa meltdown starts to happen.
So I really feel like every time the two of them have a conversation, it's always very intense. Someone starts crying and...
No, Vanessa starts
Vanessa
crying.
Vanessa usually starts crying.
She is the someone in question.
She always starts crying and it's just... it's always a very intense conversation. And Nick always tries to kind of play it off as like, you know, we're just really passionate.
We're both passionate.
Wait, excuse me. No, I have to say it in the voice. No, it's very fucking what?
Yeah. If you can understand him, he didn't say it.
Translation. We're both very passionate people. One of the things that was brought up in the conversation is about compromise in a relationship, which is really important. And, you know, based on the hometown dates, obviously Vanessa has not gotten this far with Nick, and this would be the time to do it right before you have sex with him, during your sanctioned window of sexual time. But to talk about what are the things that you will never compromise on? Like, is it children? Is it where you're going to live? Is it whether or not you're going to work? Is it all kinds of stuff? Because it tells you a lot about, one, a person that you choose to be in a relationship with, and tells you a lot about what you value in terms of the development and the growth of your relationship, too. And, you know, knowing Nick, he doesn't really seem to value anything outside of, you know, a great set of cans. And
I mean, he got rid of Danielle L.
That is true. That is true. So I mean, he doesn't even value that.
I mean, I don't think Nick is unique. Everyone on this show is like shallow and just fame obsessed.
True.
You know, it's not like he's the only one.
Right. But I mean, on some level, even if you are fame obsessed, you're going to have to realize something about yourself to be able to, you know, formulate an appropriate answer to that question. Like, what are you not going to compromise on? Vanessa's was very clear that she wasn't going to compromise on Sunday lunch, 3-hour lunches with her family. That doesn't seem to be so, like, out of scope.
Yeah, all of a sudden now she's Italian again.
Right, thank you. And then all of a sudden Nick is all like, you know, well, I had a bad relationship with a girl who her family was really into our relationship and everything that we did. We were really young. Like, bro, you're 36. If you're talking about a relationship that you had at least 10 years ago when you were 26, that is null and void. You got to keep it moving.
Yeah, but now you are falling into the same trap you just accused me of earlier, of taking this too seriously. Because remember, Chris Soules was like, I need someone who will move to Iowa for me.
That is true.
And then the second the show ended, he's like, guess what? We're moving to LA to be celebrities.
No, he didn't do that. He lived in Iowa. He moved to L.A. to be on Dancing with the Stars and then moved back.
I don't know. I don't believe that.
Honey, you don't read the rags. I read the rags.
Oh, now you're proud of an accomplishment.
I've always been proud that I read the rags.
Everybody on the show.
I find a lot of blind items that are very interesting. I knew that Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom were breaking up because of the blind items I read. So you shut the hell up about that.
Think of all the wars that were stopped.
By blind items? A lot of them. A lot of them. You know what? There were a lot of spies that were in World War II, and if those blind items hadn't told us how to stop the war, we would still be f***ed up and run by Germany. So there.
Still be run by Germany?
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. That.
The German occupation would have continued in America.
Had it not been for blind items.
Yes. Yeah, historically accurate. anyway, so they have this weird conversation where they both seem like very attracted to the competitiveness,
yeah,
and, like, the conflict in this
that
relationship.
That seems really unhealthy, don't you think?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No, because here's the thing that I always say. What determines how well you get along and what determines what you're attracted to is not logical or rational. It is strictly chemical. It doesn't matter whether you're fighting or not. There are plenty of couples who fight all the time, and it's not healthy or anything, but they're still attracted to each other. And at the end of the day, you decide to be with the person you're attracted to. You don't think it through. You just feel it. It's weird.
But Nick has sort of shown that he has this idea of a strong woman and what that is like for him, but I think when he gets into these situations where things are challenging, like, you know, having a difficult conversation with somebody like Vanessa, who is as equally passionate about her values and opinions as he is, that this might not be the kind of strong that he is looking for. So I say all that to say, you know, these are the moments when they have hard conversations, Vanessa and Nick, that I really think Raven could win this.
Are you under the impression that Nick has not already decided? I think he decided several people ago. Five or six people left.
I don't think he decided night one. I don't think he decided when they started traveling.
No, he didn't decide night one, because then he would have picked Rachel.
I think when he when they went to Milwaukee and had some of the girls meet his family, like, I mean, the only reason that Raven met his family when she did had to have been because he was like, okay, this is something. Because don't you think it's weird that Raven's already met the family and then now she's in the final two and would be meeting the family again? That's weird.
Wait, do you think he's already decided or not?
Maybe.
Oh,
I got you.
What a great answer.
I got
or
you.
Or was it? I think he has already decided, but I think he's already decided on Vanessa.
I am toying with Raven being the possibility. Like, I have been on the Vanessa train top to bottom, but this episode made me really say, I don't know. I don't know.
Because of Raven's witch costume?
She looked like a witch tonight!
In the rose ceremony. Which, granted, was cold.
I mean,
we're in icy
she probably
Finland.
Got she probably got to the point where she said, I'm not standing outside anymore.
She's wearing like all black.
Right.
A lot of makeup.
A lot of
hair,
makeup
like,
hair like straight down, like a sheet.
Man.
Like she looked like Queen Beryl from Sailor Moon.
She's like somebody posing for the tacky little picture on a witch costume at the costume store.
At the drugstore.
Yeah.
That's it.
Not even the costume store. The drugstore.
At the drugstore. You're welcome. Because the costume shop would have a little bit more sophistication added to that.
We'll have to see her lower third for the final episode.
Raven.
Raven. Witch. Drugstore witch costume model.
Witch.
That's what she is.
Stop it. So we get to the end of the episode. We lose Rachel. And now we are turning ourselves right into the worst women tell all I have ever sat through in my life.
So this is 2 hours. And they're supposed to be telling all, which is absurd.
They're using the phrase tell all loosely.
I mean, just like the phrase all encompasses a lot more than could be, you know, relayed in 2 hours. The women didn't tell anything.
They didn't tell much.
They took turns kind of ganging up on each
squawking.
Other.
Squawking.
And then
a lot of squawking.
And for some reason, maybe somebody was backstage telling them, they're like, guess what? If you go out there and make some sort of positive statement about how everyone should love everyone, like, that is going. I feel like there were just a lot of non sequitur conversations or like statements, monologues.
Listen, that is very hot right now, socially, to talk about women's equality. I mean, International Women's Day is on Wednesday. I mean, it's very on brand.
But it wasn't even really that. It was just like, I feel like everyone should deserve to have somebody who loves them. And I'm like, well.
It's like, you're right. I get that. But we're talking about how Corinne was crazy. And we're also talking about how Taylor did not give her a fair shot. That's not what I'm talking about. We're also talking about how Christina ate lipstick, so how these problems are small. Yeah.
It was kind of weird.
Basically, my issue, I would love to gloss over the entire hour that the show spent on the Taylor and Corinne fight, so let's just go to the next thing, because I cannot waste any more time of my life on that.
I have one thing to say to waste some time of my life.
Oh, God. All right.
The Taylor-Corinne feud is a confusing one.
How? How could this be confusing?
It's like, because one person wins every battle. It's like calling the Lakers and Clippers a rivalry.
Oh, no.
It's like, oh, one of these people has, like, the most championships in NBA history, and the other one is the Clippers.
Yeah, no.
The other one plays on the same floor.
Yeah, they like, have to change like, the floor before you play. Like, no.
Corinne totally destroys Taylor in every interaction they have.
All of them.
And it doesn't seem like she's going to.
No.
But she does.
Yeah.
It's just wildly lopsided.
Yeah.
It's unfair.
It is unfair. And I think Corinne's just a better litigator.
I think a lot of the Corinne hatred is jealousy. And, like, does she suck?
I think she's inconsiderate, and she just doesn't
realize.
She's a child.
She's a spoiled one, too.
She's a spoiled child. Like, you can't feel personal about, you know, Corinne being inconsiderate, because that's just who she is.
If you can't go on this show and make yourself a more attractive candidate than this person, that's your own fault.
Right. Right.
You know?
Exactly.
Or better yet, if the person who is deciding the attraction is more attracted to that than to you, Why would it bother you that he's not picking you?
Yeah, you wouldn't even want to be with somebody like that.
I think a lot of these people, they want to be famous so bad, and they need this validation from, like, the ultimate decision maker of their attractiveness. And when they don't get it, they get upset, and they just hate whoever his actual affection is directed at.
Speaking of people that I was very surprised to see on the show, Elizabeth?
She doesn't even go here.
What?
I'm sorry, who is that?
So Elizabeth was not Liz, the doula. Elizabeth was the girl who looked like the pageant version of Julianne Hough. Exactly.
She was wearing something sparkly. She
was blonde. It was sparkly, like crop top thing. She had like this big blonde hair. Like, I was like, who in the hell is that?
This is like the trademark women tell all or men tell all.
Oh, it's my favorite.
Like
moment.
The tell all. There are two things that happen in every women tell all. The first one is that you go,
Who?
What?
Who is
like,
that?
There were 30 women, and I could only recognize 8.
Right. If that. If
what?
That. I mean. Yeah. No.
What place did Whitney get?
Right.
She got like 6th place.
She had no. Whitney got left on an island. She got left on an island in Bimini.
She for real got like 7th or 8th place.
But she also looks like Astrid, who also looks like Leah now. Lacey now, kind of who like dyed just, her hair brown.
Like just paler brunette
which she
women.
Did not need to do. Lacey dyed her hair brown and no.
That's it. The women tell all. Your chance to say. Who?
Right. Or your chance to say, oh, she got new veneers. Or, oh, yeah. Look at those new boobs.
Yeah, or like, oh, Josephine's gross.
Oh, Josephine needs to continue. Is not cute.
So that's it. The second bad thing that happens in Women Tell All is that everyone tells all at the same time.
Yes.
What the hell happened?
It sounds like, you know. Well, living in San Francisco, we have these parrots that live in the Presidio. And they are so loud and they fly around the entire city and it's insane how loud these things are. That's what it sounds like. We will send you a link of that. I would rather listen to raccoon fights than listen to these women talk over each other. You know what? I'd rather listen to raccoon fights just in general because raccoon fights are awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we should have a raccoon fights podcast.
Oh, totally.
Oh, man.
That sounds awesome. Guys, we have the best raccoon fights
in
the backyard.
Yeah, we might get up to like 150 listens or something.
I think so. I think so. The best raccoon fights. We'll have a top 10 list.
Yeah, I mean, we could get up there if you guys told your friends about us.
Oof, yikes. So we get to the second hour of the show where...
A little bit stronger.
We were excited that we were finally able to get to see Rachel, but of course we started with our Russian princess sort of rehashing her story about, you know, why she got kicked off and how sad she was. You know, I think she will make someone very happy, and I hope...
On Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah. And I hope and pray to God that maybe she'll get to see Anastasia on Broadway for free. Because it's her.
You know,
she is the last Romanov.
I really like her. I love her.
Yeah.
She is probably my favorite contestant of this year.
Oh, 100%.
If I did a season-ending power rankings...
More than Rachel? Okay, Adam.
If I did a season-ending power rankings of who I was attracted to the most at the end of the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
and it was everybody was still in, I think I'd put Christina number one.
You would. Christina, then Danielle L.
Yeah.
However, then Vanessa, then Rachel.
A little bit upset about how she did not seem to understand the premise of the show.
I don't think anybody did this season. Well, no one did.
Christina was like, listen... We like, didn't we have a good time? Weren't we into each other? And then why didn't you pick me? It was like, because I was into 4 people more than you.
Right. No one gets picked on this show.
The reason, even
the person that gets picked doesn't get picked on this show.
The reason you get 10th place is because he likes 9 women more than you.
Yeah.
The women you get 6th place is because he likes 5.
She needs to just be glad that he didn't say that he loved 9 women at the same time, Ben Higgins.
Yeah,
What an only child.
People just don't seem to understand. And somebody else brought this up too, Dominique maybe. Somebody else was like, why didn't I make it further? Well, because he liked that many number of people
but
more
she
than
did
me.
Ask a good... The way that she phrased the question was an interesting point. Because, you know, for him to say as often as he does, I like strong women and I like women like this and I like women like this. And when women were presenting himself with those kind of qualities, he kicked them off. So I can understand that perspective from her.
Who beat her out, would you have let, would you have moved into fifth to allow her to be in fourth?
Astrid, Whitney.
No. I'm saying she got fifth. Christina got fifth.
No. I'm saying, like, Dominique. I thought you were talking about Dominique.
Oh, well, I could be, yeah.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, there are plenty of rehashes that I love to do. Like, I don't think Corinne should have gotten down that far. I think he should have taken Christina home for the hometowns. Honestly.
I think so, too. But you know what? I feel like Corinne is way stronger than we admit. She was in that house with, like, no friends for a month.
She was. Yeah. She was. But, I mean, you know, she was using her percent. I mean, if there's anybody that has ever used their percent well...
Everyone was using her percent.
It was Corinne.
When Corinne was like, 4% of the show, of the contestants, she was getting 50-plus percent of the conversation.
Remember when we made the worksheet and I said, Corinne, I really like her. She's got something going on.
It's hard not to. She was, like, she was attractive. She's cute. She's, like, yeah, I got this.
Bubbly, blonde, cute face, great smile.
Yeah, I mean, it's, like, as far as you, like, as wherever the bar is for blonde women, she, like, lived up to it.
She really did.
Kind of a low bar.
She might be a bottle blonde, but she lived up to it. So, next up, we spent some time with Nick and basically let the women sort of rail him for a little bit. But let's skip over that because nobody cares about Nick. Let's talk about Rachel. She's so great. And I really enjoy and am excited that she's going to be the Bachelorette. Chris Harrison made a mention of her being the first African-American Bachelorette, and she talked about how proud and honored she is to be the one to hold that mantle, and I'm just so excited. And, you know, we are taking requests as to what our intro music is going to be. I've got a couple of ideas that are extremely ethnic, and I'm really excited.
We'll just decide. If you want to say something,
post it in the comments. Like, I would personally love to hear Cranes in the Sky by Solange. Fight the Power would be a good one. You know, Been Around the World by Mace, and Puff Daddy, you know, Juicy by the Notorious B.I.G. A lot of options, a lot of strong options for her season. It's going to be lit, you guys.
I mean, I don't want to just forget everything about her except for her skin color.
No. But I mean, you know how we like to do this sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, she's still, like, an attorney and everything.
Oh, yeah. She's an attorney. But I'm not saying Fight the Power should not be at the head
of
this.
We have a sound effect.
Or Straight Out of Compton could be something.
She's not out of Compton.
The Police could be really good. You know.
Yeah, let's just forget about all of her actual personality characteristics.
Hey, man. We really leaned into the fact that Nick was a complete psycho. We leaned into the fact that Chris was a farmer. Why not let this be part of Rachel? Because it is, and she's proud of it.
Yeah, but they weren't born with those things on their skin. Those were decisions that they've made.
Anyway,
it does seem like she's going to be great. All the women love her, which is, I feel like that's fairly standard.
No, it really isn't.
You don't think so?
No, I think that is a very unique thing to her. Because, I mean, the way that they gravitated towards her when she got off the stage, I mean, that relationship that she has with everybody, she got up and held her arms out and was so excited. Yeah, everybody was like, yes!
But they did that.
That's real love.
They did that with JoJo, and they did that with Andy, and they even did that with Caitlyn and...
Did they?
Yes.
Did they? Yes. I want to see
the receipts. And the guys do it too.
Show me the receipts.
It's literally on the internet.
I want to see the receipts.
I think it's fairly common. Because they're like, oh, look, one of us getting promoted. Wonderful.
Nice.
So, you know, that's it. Rachel, the season hopefully is going to be good.
It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be more fun. Guys are easier to make fun of than women.
So now we're into the bold predictions. Now that we're finally at the end of this 3-hour nonsense. Bold predictions for next week. I mean, I am finally giving up on the idea that Nick is not going to pick anyone. He's definitely going to pick someone. Do I think he's going to get engaged? I don't know, because you know how Nick is.
Oh, you mean like do a Chris Soules? Like, I pick you, but I don't really pick you.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you a ring, but it's like,
So he's going to pick someone, and they're going to say yes, but they're not going to actually get married? You don't think that's
going
to happen?
No, I think he's not going to give them an engagement ring. He is not going to give an engagement ring to one of the women, but he will sort of promise to her to be with her and that kind of thing. I don't think he's going to get engaged at the end of this.
Which woman in particular are you talking about?
I don't know if I want to tell you.
This is bold predictions. Be bold.
Bold predictions are not power rankings. Thank you very much, Adam Boniface.
You do not mean this.
Well, then what are your bold predictions?
There's nothing left to predict.
So you think it's Vanessa or bust?
No, I think it's just, he picked Vanessa, she says yes, and they get engaged. And then later they break it off.
I don't know. Obviously.
Like, that much goes without being said.
I think there is a strong case for Raven in this. I think there is a strong case for Raven in this still.
I don't know why.
I'm sorry.
I don't think he's still considering. I don't think he's been considering anybody for a long time. I think Raven is just, like, a nice person who everyone likes, who doesn't really have any problems, and he can't, like, find a reason to get rid of her. He's just keeping her around because she's fun, and that's it. It's going to be Vanessa.
I think the ease of the relationship that he has with Raven, among the challenging conversations that he continues to have with Vanessa, I think will make him rethink his choices.
I think it's easy to have a relationship with somebody you're not planning on seeing a week from now.
Interesting point.
Vanessa's the only person he ever talks about doing anything beyond the extent of the show with.
Oh, good point, Adam.
Thanks, I have a minor in psychology.
Oh, Jesus, this again. This again.
So,
think that's an excellent point. I mean, but again, that's what they're showing us. We don't know if he's having these conversations with Raven. I mean, Raven owns a clothing store. She can go wherever the hell she wants. It's not a big deal. Well, it's not a big deal for her to leave Hoxie, Arkansas.
I mean, obviously not.
It's not a big deal for her. It's a big deal for Vanessa to leave Montreal, Canada.
She says that, but you watch. They're going to get engaged, and they will both move to Los Angeles. Because Nick's going to be on Dancing with the Stars. They will both go to Los Angeles.
I mean, he's not
going to
go back to work at Salesforce. You kidding me? Please.
No. They're both going to try to just get reality TV show money. That's what everybody
does.
Well,
he's getting paid for being on Dancing with the Stars. I mean, for however long he's going
to
be on the show.
And then he'll get paid to be in the rags, and he'll get paid by ABC to be on all these promotions for
the rags. See, now look at you calling it the rags.
You call him the rags because I call him the rags.
No, I call him the rags because, you know, this is my language. These are my words.
If some very, like, entrepreneurial listener of ours should go back to when I started hashtag Taylor Reed the Rags.
Here we go.
It was like season one, episode three.
Here we go. Well, guys.
That's it.
We'll see you next
week. I'm so tired.
I'm so tired. Why?
It's like quarter to six.
I feel like I sound like Nancy Kerrigan. Why?
That's it. We will see you all next week for the dramatic season finale.
Yeah, the most dramatic season finale. Another 3-hour episode. Can you believe it?
Our episode is going to be like 10 minutes long. Like, well, somebody won. Cool.
Somebody won.
We'll see you next
somebody
time.
Somebody came on after the final rose and cried about it.
That's it. Oh, after the final rose. That's right. Whatever. Somebody won. Somebody lost. Oh, all right. See you next time.
Oh, no. We already picked the Bachelorette, so none of this means anything anymore.
Yeah. I mean, none of it, the actual 1 hour of show meant nothing tonight.
Absolutely nothing. So, we'll see you next week. We love you. We care about you. Happy holidays. And, Adam, do you have any special announcements this week?
Should I have a special announcement this week?
Yes!
Oh, the next time you hear our voices, one of us is going to be another year older.
Oh my god, a whole decade older.
Taylor Robinson, Miss Taylor Robinson, my co-host and wife of the future, is turning 30 years old this Saturday.
Oh my god.
Right? I mean, do something nice for her if you can.
I mean, do the bare minimum by posting to my Facebook wall. That's fine too.
Yeah. Yeah, do the minimum.
Do the bare minimum.
Yeah, or like...
I'll accept it.
Yeah, give her a toast wherever you are.
Or tell a friend about the podcast.
A great way to celebrate Taylor's birthday is to tell a friend about the podcast.
Tell a friend about the podcast.
Anyway, Taylor, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Everybody else, we'll see you next Tuesday for the finale.
See you next Tuesday. Bye.
I think my time on the Bachelor franchise is probably complete.
You get to be the Bachelor, you get to meet 25 at least amazing women, but...
It's not a normal environment. It's a very unrealistic situation. It's real to you. A lot of people ask me, how's Chris Harrison? Really popular. Dabbled in modeling a little bit. People really like TVs.